Welcome to the Living Waters Church Podcast.
As we celebrate Mothers and Mother's Day today, we're doing it a little bit differently. We've never had a Story Sunday on Mother's Day before, and we thought it'd be a wonderful opportunity to hear stories from women and to give ear and attention to the kinds of diverse stories that we hear in our community. And as a pastor, I get to hear all kinds of wonderful stories, your stories, all the time as we connect and talk, and I learn a little bit more about your lives. But we love Story Sunday because we get to all share in that all of the time. So we're going to do that in just a moment. But two things to let you know about. The first is, moms, on your way out today, we have a chocolate for you. So please, yeah, very excited. Lori is very excited about the chocolates. You know what? Just because of that, you can have two. Okay? Because there's a lot of excitement about the chocolates going on over here. That's good. So moms, pick one of those up on your way out. And the other thing is to let you know that next week we begin a four-week series surrounding Pentecost. Pentecost Sunday is coming up. It's not too far away. And we're going to take four Sundays to talk about the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's what Jesus calls the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts chapter 1. It says to the disciples, wait for the gift. So we're going to talk about Holy Spirit and who the Holy Spirit is and what it looks like to live a life full of the Holy Spirit. So I'll be kicking that series off next week, and then we'll move on into the rest of June with four-week study on the gift. Today, our stories are being shared by three incredible women. We're going to hear from Karina, we're going to hear from Sarah, and we're going to hear from Joanne. So we're going to begin by hearing from Karina, and I would encourage you to give her a great, big, warm welcome.
Thank you. Yeah. Good morning. My name is Karina Drisner, and I'm very happy to be here this morning. The road to motherhood looks different for each one of us who is fortunate enough to call ourselves mothers. And it looks to some people, it seems that the road is very smooth. It's like a newly paved highway. The people, a woman would meet the love of her life, they get married, they have children, and they live happily ever after. Or at least that's what it looks like to some of the onlookers whose story is not exactly like that. And today I'm going to take you on the road that I was on before I became a mom. And the road is full of potholes. Some of them are very deep, so fasten your seatbelts. When I met the love of my life, Ken, we got married and on July 8th, 1995 in Banff, in Alberta. And it was wonderful. It was a beautiful wedding, and we had no idea what the future would hold, but we knew we had dedicated our lives to the Lord, and we dedicated our marriage to the Lord, and we knew that He would lead and guide us, and yet we had no idea what that would look like. Well, number one, He led us to Uganda. So we were teaching in Uganda in East Africa for 4 years. We were working with at Pacific Academy, and they have a sister school in Chibali, Uganda, and we were asked to go there and help set up the secondary school, and we did, and we absolutely loved Uganda, and I tell you, we could have lived there forever and ever because of our love for the country and the people there, and yet there was this dark cloud over us, and it was our deep desire to have children. And we couldn't get pregnant. And we knew that we needed to do something about it to get help. So we sought some medical help in Uganda, in Kampala, at a clinic there. And they said, that, they did a bunch of tests on us, and the results came back not very good, right? They said, I think you need further testing in Canada, so why don't you go home? So it was really hard for us to leave, because we loved it there so much, and yet we knew that's what we needed to do. So we left, and to say that basically when we came back here, we did so much testing, and every part of our body was examined by doctors, and it was really hard. The more they looked at our bodies, the more our hearts would break, and it just We were very vulnerable, and it was a really, really hard time. And then you add people's comments, you know, questions about our pregnancy status. Aren't you guys going to have kids soon? What are you waiting for? And, you know, all those type of questions. And it was very difficult. It was a very, very raw time. But it was at that time that a friend of mine gave me a bookmark, and it had Psalm 20, verse 5 on it. And it says, "May he grant your heart's desire and make your plans succeed. May we shout for joy when we hear of your victory and raise a victory banner in the name of our God." And it gave me a glimmer of hope, and I couldn't wait to have my heart's desire granted and a victory banner raised. And along the way, we tried in vitro, and we tried it again, and it failed every time. And one time after another failed in vitro, we drove down to San Francisco. We just wanted to get away from here and have some fun, but it was hard. It was very hard. And then coming back, we came to... I was just so disappointed. I was angry, I was sad, and I was so disappointed with God. I figured God, who creates life, could easily have created life in my womb. And yet, he chose not to. And I was really grappling with that. I was going, God, why? And of course, I knew no answers. And then as we were driving, Ken was driving, we came to a T intersection on the road. And I basically heard the Lord say, which way are you going to go? Are you going to choose to trust me? Or in your disappointment and anger with me, are you going to choose to walk away? And I started bawling. I started bawling because I was disappointed and angry, but yet I was bawling even more thinking of leaving the Lord, thinking there's no way I could ever leave him. And just that thought made me cry and realize that, no, I need to trust God in every situation, no matter where he takes us and what happens. And even though we trusted God and we had that, you know, we knew that he was the number one in our lives, I still refused to go to church on Mother's Day. Instead, we would do a 10-kilometer run down at UBC Endowment Lands, and we would run to our heart's content, because I would not want to sit in this church, well, in church services, because then mothers would stand up and get honored, and I would remain seated, and all I wanted was not the honor, but to have a baby in my arms. And after a while, Ken and I, we approached an adoption agency, and we thought maybe that's the route that God was leading us down. So we had our home study done. We had filled out all the paperwork, and we had decided that we were going to adopt from Russia. And one Saturday afternoon, I was sitting there with a big envelope in front of me. We had written this big, huge check, because it's not cheap to adopt from overseas. And Ken went for a run, and we like running. Ken had gone for a run, and I was sitting there filling out the envelope, and we were just about to mail it off after he had come back, and the phone rang. And it was Ken's sister, Karen, also Ryan Bedwell's mom, connection, who called, and she told us about this girl that she had met called Charity. And Charity found herself pregnant, knowing that she couldn't keep the baby because of her circumstances. She didn't have the support from home to keep the baby or anything. So she knew she wanted to give up the baby for adoption. And so Karen met with Charity, and they talked, and Karen shared about us, showed pictures, and she still decided that she wanted us to be the parents of her precious little baby that she was expecting. And so when Karen called us, you know, she knew everything, and we didn't know anything, so it came as a total shock to us. And so instead of going down the Russian road, God totally turned it around, and we were able to get little Maya. So it was in November 2002 that we drove to Edmonton and picked up our little Maya. And it was an unbelievable feeling. All of a sudden, we had bought a car seat, and we looked back, and we were going, wow, we have a baby. You know, it was just unbelievable. And then as we drove home back into our driveway in Langley, friends of ours had put banners all around the outside of our house, say, welcome home banners. And then I started crying again, thinking like, wow, God has granted my heart's desire, and the victory banner was up there. So it was very beautiful. And so we were very happy, but yet after a few years, we thought it would be nice to have another child. And so we put our names in for another adoption agency again, but nothing happened. We would get some phone calls, get our hopes up. Yeah, there's a baby for you. And then with a phone call would come back, no, sorry, they changed their minds or circumstances changed. So then we said, you know what, let's take our names off this list because we can't live with this emotional up and down again. So we took our names off the list, and I was walking around our complex when a friend of mine stopped me, and she said, hey, Karina, do you want to adopt twins? Just like that. And I was like, whoa. And so she told me that she knew a girl who was pregnant, and again, another girl, and she knew that she couldn't keep her babies, and she was expecting twins. And we were going, wow. So, of course, we talked about it, met the birth mom. And again, we were shown such amazing love by this birth mom who handed us her two amazing, precious little babies. And that was Kayla and Ella on July 1st, 2006. So it has been an unbelievable journey, and we are so thankful. The road has been, had a lot of ups and downs, and living in Africa, we were used to potholes, but I didn't know that the potholes in real life could be this deep. But the Lord has been faithful through it all. And we thought we had our life planned out. We thought we knew how things were going to happen, and God showed, no, I've got a different plan for you, but it is a more amazing plan than you can imagine. So today, I just want to encourage those who feel maybe downcast and sad that the Lord is working behind the scenes. We don't know sometimes what is going on and what he is doing, and sometimes we feel very disappointed and very angry with him. God can handle that, but know that he is faithful. He does come through. And then to put a little thing, too, for the rest of us here, to be really sensitive, because there might be people in our midst that you will meet today for whom Mother's Day is a very, very difficult day. So let's be sensitive and pray for those people while we celebrate all these amazing moms here. Thank you so much.
Hi. For those who do not know me, my name's Sarah Peacock, and I have been attending Living Waters for about 10 years now, I think, back when it was one service and really small. And since then, I have been married, and I have two small children, Forrest, who is 3, and Penny, who is 1.5. So I'm just going to be sharing today about my experience transitioning from a single person to a married person to now being a mom, and what God has shown me through that experience. But I want to also say that this is only my experience, and I don't feel that mothers need to have this exact experience that I've had, and the growth that I've experienced doesn't only happen to mothers, and the depth of love for your children is not something you can't experience outside of motherhood. And so I just want, like Karina said, I just really want to be sensitive to that. So I'm going to talk to you about the joys and the difficult parts of parenthood, not the downfalls. For me, the biggest joy, and I think a lot of parents would agree, is the privilege of watching your children grow up. It is so cool to come home with this little tiny baby, and then suddenly they're smiling, and they're saying, Mom, and they walk, and you think that no child has ever walked before. This is the first one. And it's just this really, like, beautiful time in your life where you're watching this little child grow. But for me, motherhood came with some unexpected challenges. My son, Forrest, we had a really textbook pregnancy, and I'm like a real, really into birth. And so I was excited and thrilled for this experience, and Forrest actually had meconium aspiration syndrome at birth, which means he swallowed and inhaled his poop. Do not do that. It's a bad situation. So he bought himself a little 8-day NICU stay, which was very different than the plans that I thought I had. And I experienced my first time as a mom, like, totally being like, God, like, why are you separating me from my child? Like, we're not gonna bond. Like, all these things that you feel. And, like, God is just so faithful through those times. But I definitely felt the weight of motherhood hit me very hard. Like, I remember calling my mom maybe when Forrest was like 3 months old. And when you've been a mom for 3 months to a newborn, you think you have been a mom forever. And I called her and I was like, Mom, you know, like, I'm just like realizing that I can make all the right choices and I can weigh what I'm doing and I can work really hard to like help this little boy grow up to love Jesus and be a good person, and like something could come along and like take that away from me, and I don't have control over the bad things that could happen to him. And it just was like this really heavy feeling of knowing that the choices that I were making was important, but it wasn't going to be enough. Like, I couldn't save him from all the things that could possibly happen. And so I think that is where I started to learn quite a bit more about God. And being a parent, you very much realize that God's patience for us is unending, and you're experiencing like a little part of that as a parent. But it just so showed me the importance of giving that to God, and like you cannot carry that weight around with you, and you cannot worry that every single second something bad is going to happen. And I really feel like God was so faithful to me during that time of putting these people into my life who were showing me like, Sarah, like it's gonna be okay. And all of these people just reaffirming the fact that like God was in control of his life. And that was like a really, really beautiful time for me. And I think as a parent now, I'm much more able to be like, I'm okay with the outcome, whatever that outcome is, because I know that God's plans are for good and they are not to harm us. And so that was just a really clear theme for me as I was like in these very early stages of parenthood. And then along very shortly after came Penny. And that was a really interesting year. I'm a teacher and I teach grade 5. So I always thought of myself as a very patient person. And then I had two kids not so patient. And it was a very interesting dynamic having a 16-month-old and a baby. But God just showed me so much about how to be patient. And again, putting the people into my life who I would feel like I was failing and I needed to pull it together. And someone would come along and they would just be like, can I just say that you're a wonderful mother? And I would be like, really? I had a fight with a 2-year-old today, and they would just be so encouraging and so affirming to me, and I was so, so grateful for like the grandma in Costco who would say that to me, you know. And it was again like so many beautiful moments in these times that I felt were so challenging as a mother. And then the last thing I'm going to tell you about is how I feel like my relationship with God has been changed through being a mother. And I think the biggest thing for me that has changed is instead of my relationship with God being a choice, I feel like it's a necessity. Like, I feel like we've had a really wild year this past year, and I just feel like every time it just brings me to my knees in a way that I've never experienced outside of motherhood. And told myself I was not gonna cry. And I feel like there is so much more willingness on my part to accept God's love in my life. And there's been so much more willingness on my part to ask God for direction and ask God for guidance and pray that he show us exactly where we need to lead our family. And I just have a lot more respect for my parents now that I am a parent, much like most people. But, and just like, I feel so strongly that I want my children to grow up loving Jesus and loving God. And I didn't expect to feel like that intensity But God is really, as I said, he's been so faithful, and I feel really blessed, and I feel really encouraged by needing him so much, almost. Like, I just feel like he shows up again and again and again. And so my encouragement for you on that is, if you're feeling the resistance towards God today for whatever reason, it's so much better. It is so much better to give yourself to him, and you won't regret it. Thank you.
Wow, couple of tough acts to follow. My name is Joanne, and I'm on the pastoral team here. Been kicking around Living Waters for 11 years and came on the team in 2014. And I'm going to talk about my mum and the influence that she's had on my life. My mum was an incredible woman who lived an amazing life. She's had a profound influence on me. I was born in England in the early 1960s. And so if any of you watched the show Call the Midwife, that was the era that I grew up in. The local midwife was a constant presence in our home, as my mum had baby after baby after baby. I was number 3 of 7. Sounds like a Borg thing, doesn't it? Anyway, that was for the Trekkies out there. Some of my clearest memories are of midwives giving my mum iron injections and our ceilings being dotted with brown spots from squirting the syringes before they used them. Like every house we lived in, there were brown spots on the living room ceiling. There were nappies everywhere, as in cloth diapers, but nappies, okay, because I'm English. Drying by the fire, out on the line, hanging on the rack in the kitchen. To say our house was always full of people and action is an understatement. My mum had a big heart. She loved well, and she loved many. Neighbors and friends were always stopping by for a cup of tea and a word of advice or encouragement. Our home was even open to young adults who had no place to live because they'd been kicked out by their parents. I loved it. I loved the coming and going of children, teenagers, and young adults in our home. I loved that there was always room for one more at the table. I loved my mum with all my heart, and I wanted to be just like her. I was baby crazy, and all my dolls had to be baby dolls. No Barbies for me, ever. Ugh. My mum was my heroine. How on earth did she do what she did in a small council house with no automatic washing machine, no central heating, no fridge, and no television to keep us all occupied, I do not know. And yet, despite all that hard work, I still wanted to be just like her and have a house full of kids when I grew up. However, that didn't happen for us. After Luke was born, David and I struggled for years with infertility. It was hard, really hard, as our dream of having more children slowly and painfully withered and died. I may not have had my mother's ability to bear children, but I did inherit her big heart, and God used it to help move me forward through loving others. Over the years, he has given me hundreds of kids to love. In fact, some of you are in this room today. When I was 12, my mum became a single mum with 7 kids aged 15 and under. Things were tough and times were very hard, but she kept it all together and managed to raise us into adulthood, believe it or not, all in one piece. Mum worked many different jobs through the years, but in her early 50s, she decided that she wanted a career. So while holding down a full-time job, she went to night school to become an early childhood educator. I was in my late 20s at the time and felt so proud of her. She showed me that you're never too old to go back to school and get an education. That stayed with me. So when I was in my 40s, it didn't seem strange to head back to school myself to earn a degree. And guess what? She was my greatest cheerleader. When I graduated with my BA in religious studies, she beamed full of pride in my accomplishment. I hope that she knew that without her example, I may never have had the courage to do it. The biggest adventure of my mum's life began in her late 50s. She had the opportunity to visit South Sudan for 6 weeks. She went to teach women there in the bush about childcare, hygiene, and Jesus. And that was it. Africa stole her heart, and she spent the next decade serving in South Sudan. She sold everything she had. She left her children and her grandchildren and went off to live in a mud hut in the middle of the bush in one of the most dangerous places on the planet. At that time, South Sudan was a war zone. How can you not be influenced by that? The courage and the bravery it took to answer the call God placed on her life was huge. This was the coming to pass of a dream that God had laid on my mum's heart when she was a little girl of 8 years old. But you need to know that this was God's redeeming work in her life, and that was so much more incredible. My mum sounds like a saint. We love to make our heroes perfect and look back only with rose-colored glasses. But what I've observed over the years is that when it comes to our parents, most especially our mothers, many of us tend to remember them as either angels or demons, one extreme or the other. But neither is accurate. I would not be honest if I didn't share with you the struggles my mum faced. She wasn't perfect. In fact, she was a sinner, saved by grace, just like you, just like me, and just like so many people that we read of in the Bible who were used of God despite their shortcomings. Moses, David, Peter, Paul, to name a few. Remember how I told you she became a single mom? Well, that was because in her early 30s, my mom made some really, really poor choices that caused our family to implode. My parents were asked to step down from ministry, and we left the church. My dad wasn't innocent either, but mum played a big part, and our family is still suffering the consequences today because of those choices. She came back to Jesus when she came to Canada, but a few years later, she found herself embroiled in an unhealthy, abusive relationship that took her away from the Lord again. When this ended, she ended another relationship that was not that honoring to God either. Eventually, she woke up and decided that the latter years of her life were going to be led serving Jesus with her whole heart. God took a broken woman and filled her to overflowing with his love for others. He restored her mother's heart to what he had intended it to be, and she blessed the people of South Sudan in ways that I don't think she ever realized. To say that I am proud of my mom is an understatement. Was she perfect? No. Did she make mistakes? Yeah, some really big ones. But she taught me that if we're willing, God can take our brokenness and he can use it for his glory. He is faithful and will restore to us even the dreams that we had as a child. Why? Because he loves us so much. Mother's Day is a wonderful opportunity to celebrate the women in our lives who have nurtured us, sacrificed for us, raised us, and influenced us. It's a celebration of motherhood and all it represents. But it shouldn't be a day to forget that mothers are fallible. They're not perfect. And many of us have lived with the consequences of our mother's mistakes, as well as our own mistakes as mums. We all make them. Let's extend grace to each other and to ourselves. Mother's Day can also be a painful day for so many of us for various different reasons. I spoke about a couple already, as did Karina. For those who struggle with infertility and long to cradle a baby in their arms. For those who are single, where the opportunity for motherhood has passed them by or seems to be slipping through their fingers. For those who never knew their mothers. And for those mums who have lost babies and children. For mums who are estranged from their children and children who are estranged from their mums. And for those whose mums are no longer with us, today we recognize you all. In July 2009, my mum died unexpectedly. The last Mother's Day she was alive, I was not here with her. I was on a missions trip in the Czech Republic with an Omega team from Summit Pacific College. She was so proud and excited that I was experiencing my first missions trip. Looking back, I think it was rather fitting. I was, after all, following in her footsteps. Thank you.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. We've been blessed today, and trust that through those good stories, you see the evident hand of such a good God, who is our God, able to do good things within our lives. I want to invite you to stand as we close our service today. Good stories of God drawing near people's families. And we would pray for each other today that God would draw near to your family and would remind you today of his interest to do greater things as we open up our hearts to him. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 says, I'm going to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes. I'm going to pray, but let's consider even this promise for our mothers, promise for our families, promise for us today. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we can ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. God, we sense your presence here today. We are mindful and been reminded today of your ongoing interest to draw near to us. And we thank you for Karina and for Sarah and Joanne and all the families that they represent here in this room today. We pray for one another today. Pray for every mother here today that as they would even this morning in a simple way open up their hearts to you, we know that you will draw near to them and do good things. So strengthen and empower, enable, equip, do your good work. And for every family that is represented here as well, we ask you to do exceedingly abundantly, even beyond what we could ask or even imagine. We surrender to the power that you would desire to work within us. And we allow you, O Holy Spirit, to come, empowering us, enabling us to pursue you and to be used by you. Dismiss us today to all that you have for us throughout this day and these hours, and of course into a great week. We thank you for the gift of your presence, which we carry hopefully in our hearts today. In Jesus' name, amen. Again, happy Mother's Day. Luke mentioned the chocolates. They're for you in the lobby. Have a good rest of your day. Perhaps we'll see you through the week, or if not, next Sunday.